It would be fair to say that many of the people we encounter in the Bible wouldn't be our first choice for the job they're called to. In fact, more often than not, I'm not even convinced that the people would have chosen themselves for the jobs they're called to. They are rarely the fastest, the strongest, the smartest, the best spoken, or even made obviously of the right stuff. In fact, the Bible seems more often than not to call the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And yet God not only uses them, but blesses them and works through them and their situations to get done what is in his plan. God has a plan for mankind, and it is not a distant God, but one who has made promises to all of us, and he keeps those promises. Someone once said to me that a sermon should have 3 points. Well, tonight you're getting 6. You are being doubly blessed. The things I want to focus on and draw your attention to are 3 things about God we can find in the Jacob reading, and 3 things Jacob does in response to God. Even when it feels like God is distant in our lives, he is still fulfilling his promises, working through the Bible, working through you, and working through me. As we have been hearing over the last few weeks, Jacob was a descendant of Abraham, who God had promised to make a father of a great nation. Jacob was his grandson. Can you imagine that? I don't know whether Jacob met Abraham. I didn't read that far back. But I know an awful lot about my granddad from first and second hand accounts. Do you tell your grandchildren? Do you talk to your grandchildren and tell them stories of your youth? Tell them how you came to church? We do, don't we? We tell stories. It's part of our history. Jacob was a grandson of Abraham. Jacob was so near to God's promises for his people that their house must have been buzzing with it all the time. Can you imagine having that promise on your household? God has promised all of this for our household. But there's a but. Jacob has taken Esau's birthright in exchange for a meal, stolen his father's blessing by deception, and his brother is a little bit annoyed, to say the least. In fact, he's fairly furious. Jacob has fled under the pretense of finding a wife, but more, it was about avoiding the consequence of his actions. And here we find Jacob. This is not a man who was equipped for this. Jacob was the person who helped out around the household. He's not the strongest. He's not the hunter of the family. He's not even got a good layer of hair to keep him warm like his brother did. He's lied and he's cheated to get what God has promised his ancestors. And at this point you have to be thinking, I wonder what's in his head. He's never been on his own. Ever. That we know of. Even in the womb he was with Esau. As he was growing up, he was around the household with Esau, and he was helping out around with his mother. He has never been outside the protection of his father. And yet now, his very own brother is pursuing him. God may not be with him after what he's done, and he can't even find a bed for the night. All he has is a stone to rest his head on. Can you imagine how that would feel? Cold, dark, outside, no shelter from the animals or the elements. Am I going to die on this mountain? I'm really just wondering, is this the punishment I deserve for what I've done? He must have been terrified. And as he lays down to rest, it is at the moment when he lets go of his physical consciousness and in his most vulnerable state, God steps in and shows us the first 3 things. God is near. God is working in his creation, and God protects us and journeys with us. The reading shows us that God is near. He is looking out for us and wanting a relationship with us. God is looking down from heaven. The vision before him shows that connection between heaven and earth. God is not just distant and only speaks in certain places. God can turn up in any place and is looking on at us in all situations and speak to us within those areas we find ourselves alone. But for Jacob, this isn't just about speaking into his situation. The first thing God does is to announce who he is. I am the Lord, the God of your ancestors. How could Jacob not know this? Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? If that was what was going around his household, how could he not know this? Anyone who has spoken to God knows they have spoken to God. So why introduce yourself? Why establish the history? Perhaps it's because up until now, Jacob's faith has been exactly that. The faith of his family. Perhaps Jacob has never claimed the faith as his own. Perhaps he's had no experience of God. It certainly wouldn't be unusual in the Old Testament. For Jacob, he'd probably only ever heard the stories his father and grandfather had spoken. Up until now, Jacob had no personal view of God, maybe no relationship with God, and probably more questions than answers. And yet in this instance, the God which Jacob may have alienated turns up and says, "It's me. This is my promise to you. And this is how I'm working in my creation through you." God is working in his creation all the time. When God made his promise to Abraham, there was nothing within it to indicate whether Abraham would get to see it fulfilled or not. I like to think he probably would have got to see it. I certainly would say that. If God said to me, "I will make you a great nation," great, make me a great nation, bring it. I often think Abraham may have been a little bit disappointed when he got to the end. Is God really going to bless me in that way? You have promised to make me into a great nation. Have I seen this greatness? And it's perhaps at this point it becomes apparent that this greatness will be acted out throughout the future generations. It's this promise which was carried to Isaac, and in this encounter Jacob receives the unquestionable answer. Will God honour the blessing of my father on me? And the answer God gives him is the resounding yes. God promises not only to bless him, but the whole earth through his offspring. He promises that his descendants will be like dust. Not dead, as some would read this, but abundant, everywhere, covering the whole surface of the world, from the north to the south, the east to the west, filled with his descendants. And who will do all this? Jacob. But God working through Jacob. Because God is working in creation, and in this single encounter it shows God's redemptive power. A commentator called Ross points out that in this encounter, God is working, and through it, a place becomes a shrine, a stone became an altar, and a fugitive became a pilgrim. That's God working his process out. That's God working his plan out. God shows that even you, Jacob, in your deception, in your weakness, scared, ill-equipped, homeless state, even you I can use. Even you I will bless. And you will not do this alone. I am with you. I will watch over you. And I will not leave you. Because God will protect us. For many of us, there are always times when we feel vulnerable. Especially when we step out to do the things of God that we've been asked to do. In this account, Jacob is travelling to a distant land. Unsure what to expect when he gets there. And unsure what the future holds. Will he ever see his family again? God reassures him he will. Will Esau remain angry forever? We don't know that yet. For those who know the story, though, we know what lies ahead actually isn't a warm family welcome, and it's far from easy. But for Jacob, it starts here. This is a point in Jacob's life, a no-go space. It starts here. His faith journey, his relationship with God, God's assurance of Jacob's purpose in God's plan, all begins here for Jacob. And God will not let him go alone. Why would he? If God has called people to act in creation, why would he let them fail? Following God doesn't always involve going on to a different path or changing course. Jacob still went on the way he was sent. He was still lacking human company when he left this place, was as vulnerable as when he started. But God revealed where Jacob's journey would take him. Back to where he started. Back to his father. And whilst Jacob was as vulnerable and alone as when he started, God's assurance to Jacob shows us that when we follow God in his calling, he watches over us. And the issues we encounter, he never leaves us and he is able to comfort us. This is God's offer to Jacob, and it's his offer to us too. John 1:51, which we read a moment ago, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is the stairway through which we are connected to the Father. Jesus provides us with all the assurances placed upon Jacob. But like Jacob, we must respond to God's offer. Like Jacob, we are called into that personal relationship with God. And it might not always be fun. And it might not always be easy. And we might have to keep going into the darkness. But God is with us. The Bible doesn't say that following God will be an easy ride, or that we will get everything we want. In fact, it says probably the opposite. There will always be times when we feel threatened physically, spiritually. And Jacob shows us three ways we need to respond. To be aware of God's presence, to affirm our dependence on God, and to affirm ourselves to God in worship. To be aware of God's presence in our lives, to affirm our dependence on God in what we do, and to affirm ourselves in worship to God. As Jacob awakens, he is aware of God's presence, but more importantly, he responds to what he has shown. Perhaps one of the biggest challenges we face as Christians is knowing that God is near, when sometimes he feels distant. I've certainly felt that way, thinking, I could really use your help roundabout now. Any time now, please answer the prayer. And sometimes you get the answer you want, and sometimes you don't. It's often easy to slip into a routine and try to rely on our own strength. Or perhaps we are given something from God but don't realise it. Or worse, we don't want to do it. God doesn't take us out of our situations, but promises to journey with us through them. We're not alone. God is with us. Walking with God relies on being attentive to God and how he is communicating with us. Sometimes it's directly an answer to that prayer. God, where are you? I am right here. But sometimes it might be through a dream. Sometimes it might be through an urge. And sometimes it might be through other people. Jacob shows us that there is a plan. God tells Jacob what the future holds for him. To God, it doesn't matter what you have. Even Jacob, God can use. Even Jacob, in all that situation, I will still bless you and you can still work the plan out for me. And he can use you and he can use me, regardless of what we have to offer. He's given us everything we need, but only if we're prepared to listen. He doesn't always take away the immediate obstacle or problem, but he promises to walk through us with it. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, I am with you always. He is the ladder to the Father. And we are called into that relationship with the Father through him. And in doing, we are part of something much bigger. We need to listen to God and follow where he leads. Secondly, Jacob affirms his dependence on God. Jacob knows that he has nothing in this place to offer God. He has nothing himself. No house, no food, no clothing. In fact, the only thing he has is a stone. He took the thing which had given him physical rest and he used it as a marker to his spiritual new beginning. And it was to here he would come back to with his family. There's something about God meeting us in our vulnerability which makes our relationships more real. Our prayers become a little rawer, more urgent, more desperate. Why? Because we have nowhere else to go. It is when Jacob has no food, no clothes, and he's scared of physical harm, God crashes into his reality and starts him on a new journey. Because it is at this point he's able to listen to what God has in his future. When we have nowhere else to turn, that is when we really start to pray. And that is where our relationship with God is built and grows from. We all need our own Bethel moment, our spiritual place where we have and continue to meet God. And it's through those meetings that we can continue to ask of God in our sufferings and our challenges in everyday life. Some would argue that Jacob is bartering with God at the end. But I don't think that's the case. I think this is an honest response that any human would make. You're prepared to do all this for me. Wow. If you can do all this for me, if you can feed me and protect me and bestow a nation upon me, if you can clothe me, all those things he asked for at the end, mentioned in prayer, then you are the one true God. And I will worship you and you alone. I don't see this as a deal. I see this as affirming who God is. The one who can protect him, provide him with food and clothes. He can do it because he is God and worthy of worship. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If Jesus is our link to the Father, Jesus gives us the strength to fulfill whatever the Father is calling us to do. Final point. Given all God will do for Jacob, Jacob vows to worship him. In verse 21, Jacob says, "If you are who you claim to be, then Lord, then the Lord will be my God." This is a dedication, an intention to create and observe a lasting relationship with God. In a time and a place where there were multiple false gods around, Jacob says, "I will follow you. I am dependent on you." Jacob's statement has parallels to the Lord's prayer in Luke. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." There is a structure there of affirming who God is and then bringing what we need for our physicalness to him. At the end of verse 22, Jacob not only agrees to worship God spiritually, but understands that worshipping God is an expression of the dependence he has upon him. If God is providing all things for him, his food, his clothes, then he lives dependent on God. And part of a dependence is worship of all God is doing for him. For Jacob, his worship involves not just affirming who God is, but returning a tenth to him as an expression of thankfulness and discipline. It's so he doesn't forget who God is and what God has been doing. Worshipping God is a means through which we give thanks to God for all he is doing in our lives. And it's through worship and dependence our relationship is deepened. And God can continue to work through our lives. If he can work through Jacob, then he can work through you. And he can work through me. Amen.